Title of our lesson today is If. Little bitty word with a lot of consequences. I want to pose some questions or some statements. If I had more time, I'd serve God more. I'm sure we have heard that at some time in our lives from somebody. We might even recognize the voice sometimes when we hear it. You know, work has been so busy. We've got things going on at work. The deadlines are crazy. And it just seems like I don't have enough hours in the day. And if I had more time, I'd serve God more. The kids were just going. I tell you, those of you with more than one kept us busy. Those of you with two, three, four, I don't know how you do it. One was enough for us. But the kids have so many activities. It seems like you're going in 96 different directions, 100 miles an hour. If I had more time, I'd serve God more. If it wasn't so blank, I'd be there. You fill in the blank. I just put a few. If it wasn't so hot, if it wasn't so cold, if the wind wasn't blowing so much, if there wasn't so much traffic, if it wasn't so early, late, if I didn't have this to do, we've all heard those. If we had a blank, I'd attend more. If we had a better preacher, amen to that one. Man, get rid of that deadbeat. If we had elders, if we had different elders, if we had better song leaders, if we had song leaders that sung the songs faster, more uplifting songs, we sing funeral dirges. If we had a youth minister, if we had programs that I could drop the kids off and have somebody else do everything for them. If we had blank, I'm just not satisfied with the congregation. If we had more, I'd attend more. Here's one that hits home a little bit. This is one that's hard to deal with. If God is so loving, why did he allow X, Y, or Z? Death of a loved one hits you right, it's a gut punch. Why did he allow financial problems, health problems, marriage problems? God wants me to be happy. Why did he allow this to happen and I'm not happy? This is a whole nother lesson in and of itself. But the doors he closes in some areas, he's opening up in others. If we lost everything, would we still serve God? And it's easy to serve God when everything's going well. But when life happens, when you hit those speed bumps, or not just speed bumps, when we hit those cliffs in life that we're shoved off of, and we have that big bounce at the end, if we lost everything, would we still serve God? If it became illegal to be a Christian, would we remain faithful? In some parts of the world today, it is illegal to be a Christian. Christians are murdered in other. We sometimes living in the United States with all the rights and freedoms that we have, sometimes we get a little insulated. There are places in the world today where Christians are burned alive, murdered, beheaded. Why? Because they are Christians, that they won't bow to something else. If there were limits put on how or where or when we could worship, if the Bible was labeled hate speech, would we still promote it? That's the case in some places, that it's labeled hate speech, that you are forbidden to say those things. I want us to look at some different aspects, because we could come up with all these ifs forever. There's no shortage of if this, if that. I want us to look at some biblical ifs. One of the greatest examples that comes to my mind about the couple of questions ago, if we lost everything. I know where your mind's going, Job. And Job had lost all of his possessions. Now, he was a rich man. He lost all of his herds, his livestock. He lost his children. He lost everything. Now, he was a rich man. Would it hurt any less if you weren't a rich man? Losing everything is still everything. I'm not a Job. But if I lost everything, it still hurt. He lost everything. Everything. And the way the account in Job 1 is, as the person is telling him about losing the livestock, he hasn't even been able to process it yet. And another messenger is coming in, your children have died. Which ones? All of them. Wow. And in verse 20, we see his response. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not curse God. We were talking in our Bible class today about, you know, we should not take the Lord's name in vain. He did not. He blessed the Lord. And goes on to say, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Shortly after this, he's also plagued with the painful boils all over his body. That's after this. And in chapter 2, verse 9, his wife is he's not getting any help from his helpmate. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What a wonderful example. In Acts 5, we see an example of the apostles had been preaching. They had been turning Jerusalem upside down. As it said, I think it was verse 28. They'd been turning Jerusalem upside down with this teaching. They had been told not to. The priests and the Pharisees had told them, quit teaching in his name. Everybody in Jerusalem, this is the hubbub going on. You are turning the city upside down. They put them in jail. They threatened them. These are the religious authorities of the day. Don't do it. Quit doing it. And they're brought before, out of prison, they're brought before the high priests and so forth and said, why are you still doing this? Didn't we tell you? Weren't you told specifically, quit teaching in his name? And it says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They answered that question, would you still serve God if it was illegal? If you're told not to. They answered the question. Our scripture reading that Chris read, the Apostle John says, but if, conditional, if we walk in the light as he, God, is in the light. Of course he is in the light. He is the light. He is light. The only light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at the consequences of that if. That if we're doing this, then that. That's a good trade-off. We need to walk in the light. The Apostle Peter says, yet if. And this is later on in Peter's life. This is a few decades later. And he's able to write. He's seen some suffering. And he says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. The fact that we are being persecuted says a lot. It says enough that we're letting our light shine enough that people see we are Christians. We could not be persecuted. We just won't let anybody know. Keep it quiet. Don't let anybody know we're a Christian. That's an easy way not to be persecuted. But he says, if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. How we conduct ourselves because of the persecution. Do we keep a stiff upper lip? Do we just keep on moving forward? Do we continue? How we conduct ourselves is a way that we can glorify God in that manner. Mm-hmm. I like this passage in Hebrews 10. The Hebrew writer has just talked about, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I think of that about the in 1 John, that we have the fellowship of each other, the benefit of that, the encouragement we get, the uplifting we get from the fellowship. He says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. And then in the next verse, it says, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Another condition. If's conditional. If is conditional. Jesus gives us an if. He gives us an if just like he gave his disciples if. If you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people claim love of God, love of Jesus, but they don't do what is required. Oh, how I love Jesus. I don't do anything that he says. I don't attend worship. I don't read his word. But oh, how I love Jesus. You never know it. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how you're going to show me, and that's how you're going to show others that you're mine. The Apostle John says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, that we can know. John was talking to a group of people also called the Gnostics that were saying people can't know. John is addressing that. He says, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, because that's a requirement. The Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, and this goes right along with what Michael was talking about leading the Lord's table in John 3, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's easy, usually, to see sin in other people. We can recognize it. It's sometimes harder to admit that I have trouble. I've got 20/20 vision with other people. Man, I can spot things out. I see things. Oh, I got good vision. That guy in the mirror that I look at every time when I'm brushing my teeth, I sometimes have a hard time seeing that guy clearly. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. We don't want that. That his word's not in us. Paul would say in writing to the Galatians, Paul, after a real quick, we studied Galatians, a few years ago in our Wednesday night Bible study. And one of the things I remember was he had a real quick introduction. Hi, this is Paul. And he launches right into it. And he says, I am surprised that you are perverting the gospel, listening to a different gospel, which is not another. And then he says in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. I'm so surprised that you're straying from that gospel. And these are the consequences. If anybody teaches you any differently, they're accursed. Don't listen to them. Paul would be teaching the Christians in Corinth. He says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. That's on us too. That's on us. And it doesn't mean getting up in front of the pulpit or behind it or next to it, but up. It doesn't necessarily mean all of us are required to preach the gospel to our children, to our spouses, to our neighbors. We preach, should preach, by the life we live. We send messages every day just by the way we conduct ourselves. But we should be able to put the words of the Heavenly Father and share it with others. Paul would say at the end of this letter to the Corinthians, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. He's acknowledging you've been taught it, you received it, and you're standing in it, by which also you are saved in it, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. We have to hold fast. It's not a one and done deal. Oh yeah, I heard it. And then go off and never do anything about it. If you hold fast that word. If. I'm gonna end it with these questions to you. If you need to be baptized. I'm not gonna take a poll. I'm not gonna ask for a raise of hands. And I don't mean this mean. This is from the Word. It's not from me. I wish everybody could be saved. Everybody could be saved. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Simple. That's God's Word. If you disagree with me, you'll have to take it up with God sometime. And I promise you'll get a chance. You'll get a chance. If you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of sin, Jesus says, unless we repent of sin, we will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. If you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, if you're going through things that you need help with, if we can help you in any of those ways, please come forward. Well, Frank leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.